Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
Sunday Cantata with Pastor Tapani Simayoki.
Hello and welcome to episode 31 of Sunday Cantata on Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Tapani Simayoki, and it's my great pleasure to be your host. Today is the fifth Sunday after Trinity, and we will be hearing a cantata written for this Sunday by Johann Sebastian Bach in the year 1724. Loyal listeners to Sunday Cantata will immediately recognize the significance of the year 1724. It marked the bicentenary, the 200th anniversary, of the publication of the first ever Lutheran hymnal in Wittenberg in 1524. That hymnal was edited by Martin Luther's friend, the composer and poet Johann Walter, with a foreword by Luther himself. Walter's Geistliches Gesangbuchlein, or Spiritual Song Booklet, was the first Lutheran hymnal. By Bach's time, hymnals and hymn singing had been around for a couple of centuries, and they were an indispensable part of Lutheran spirituality, both at church and in the home. Not surprisingly then, Lutheran hymns or chorales form a central part of almost all of Bach's sacred music, his Passions, Oratorios, and the sacred cantatas, of which 200 or little over a half survive to today. The vast majority of the cantatas include at least one chorale verse, usually as the closing movement. As director of music to the churches of Leipzig, a post he took up in 1723, Bach was expected to direct a performance of a cantata every Sunday and on the main festival days, with the exception of Lent and the three Sundays prior to Christmas. For the first 5 years or so, Bach provided these cantatas by composing them himself, at the rate of one a week. In 1724, Bach decided to mark the anniversary of the groundbreaking Lutheran hymn book by devoting that year's cantata cycle to it, in the form of chorale cantatas. On the fifth Sunday after Trinity, the congregation in Leipzig was treated to BWV 93, Wer nun den lieben Gott lässt walten. The title comes from the opening words of the cantata, which is a setting of a hymn by the poet and composer Georg Neumark, who wrote both the words and the melody in 1641, at the tender age of 20. It is included in many modern Lutheran hymnals, and is found in the Lutheran Service Book, the hymnal we use in the ELCE, as number 750, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee, in a translation by Catherine Winkworth. It's a beautiful translation, but for the sake of precision and clarity, I will be using a prose translation by Francis Brown of the website bachcantatas.com in the following commentary. Neumark's hymn, with its focus on trust in God's guidance in the midst of tribulations, was not mere theory. It was written in the middle of the devastating 30 Years' War and in response to a personal tribulation. In 1641, Neumark was travelling on foot in Germany, and on the way he and his friends were attacked and robbed, and this hymn is a response to that experience. It was evidently one of Bach's own favourites, and its consoling trust in God's goodness must have spoken deeply to a man who experienced so much loss through death throughout his life. You are listening to Sunday Cantata with me, Tapani Simoyoki. I serve as pastor of Our Saviour Lutheran Church in Fareham on the south coast of England. Our Saviour is a member of Church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. To find out more about the ELCE, visit lutheran.co.uk, where you will find a directory of all our congregations and missions, and much, much more. BWV 93 follows the standard format for the chorale cantata. Therefore, the opening movement is a lengthy choral fantasia, taking up over a quarter of the entire length of the cantata. The orchestral introduction begins immediately with musical motifs expressing grief and suffering, sighing oboe phrases in a minor key. The choir sings the words of the first stanza of the chorale. Whoever lets only the dear God reign and hopes in him at all times, God will preserve him in a marvelous way in every cross and sadness. Whoever trusts in Almighty God has not built upon sand. Each line of the hymn is introduced in a freely composed form, which nevertheless is built out of musical phrases in Neumark's chorale melody. the actual hymn phrase then follows it, set in four-part harmony. Thus there are three layers: the orchestral music of Bach's own invention, the chorale by Neumark, and the choral music written by Bach out of Neumark's composition. It is a complex piece, but such is Bach's skill that he welds the three strands together to make a seamless and highly effective whole. That Bach was a child of the Lutheran Church now comes to the fore in the second movement, another hybrid. This time we have a chorale and recitative for solo bass, setting lines from the second stanza with new texts in the form of a catechism. The questions are posed by Neumark's text and set with the original tune with a simple accompaniment. Each question is then given an answer, set as a recitative. How much do heavy worries help us? They only weigh down the heart with a heavy burden of pain, a thousand anxieties and sorrows. How much do our woe and alas help us? It brings only bitter hardship. How much does it help that every morning we should get up from sleep with sighs and with tear-stained face at night to go to bed? We make our own cross and sorrow only greater through anxious sadness. Therefore a Christian does far better when he bears his cross with calmness like Christ. The solo tenor follows this with a serene aria that turns away from our sorrow to God's faithfulness in caring for his children. Again, the first and third lines are taken from Neumark's text. If we only keep quiet for a little, when the hour of the cross draws near, then the merciful will of our God never forsakes us in a counsel or deed. God who knows those he has chosen, God who names himself to us as a father, will in the end turn away all trouble and send help to his children. Bach sets these words to music of his own. Almost. He takes the distinctive opening phrase of the chorale but puts them in a major key with a light-footed triple-time rhythm, and then goes on to construct the rest of the music out of this variation. As usual, Bach makes the most of the text in the musical setting. Perhaps the most noticeable word-setting feature is the slight pause at the end of the main musical phrase, which in the opening line comes immediately before the words, "quiet a little." If we only keep quiet for a little while. So simple, so effective. Next we hear the entire original text of the fourth stanza of the hymn in a duet for soprano and alto soloists. He knows the right hours of joy, he knows well when it will be useful. If he has only found us faithful and notices no hypocrisy, then God comes before we expect and allows much good to happen to us. The singer's part alludes to the chorale melody, especially the opening phrase, but is freely composed by Bach. However, we hear the chorale played by the violins and violas in the background. He was sufficiently pleased with the treatment of this verse that Bach went on to recycle this movement as a chorale prelude for the organ, as one of the so-called six Schubler chorales, published 20 years later, and given as BWV 645-650 in the standard catalogue of Bach's works. Now follows another catechetical setting, this time of stanza 5, given to the tenor soloists. Again, it's a combination of chorale and recitative. Do not think in the heat of your hardship, when lightning and thunder crack and the sultry storm makes you anxious, that you have been forsaken by God. God remains even in the greatest distress, yes, even in death, with his mercy among his people. You should not think that this God just sits back, like a rich man who every day can live in pleasure and joy. The man who feeds himself on constant good fortune, with nothing but good days, must often in the end, after he had his fill of vain pleasure, say, "Death is in the pot." The course of time changes much. Did Peter once the whole night spend in empty work and catch nothing? At Jesus' word he can still obtain a shoal. Therefore trust in poverty, suffering and pain only on the goodness of Jesus, with a believing spirit. After rain he gives sunshine, and sets to everyone his goal. Perhaps it would be more accurate to call this a trope, a form popular in medieval chant where to the base text are added interposing amplifications. Bach sets this as harmonically imaginative recitative with colourful word painting. Here also we have the only direct reference to today's gospel reading, the account of Peter's miraculous catch of fish at the start of the 5th chapter of Luke's gospel. The soprano now returns with a solo aria accompanied by solo oboe. I want to look to the Lord and always trust my God. He is the true miracle worker. He can make the rich poor and naked, and the poor rich and great, according to his will. There are no sighs left in the music, as the singer no longer focuses on his suffering, and yes, in Bach's time it would have been a boy treble, but rather on what he can expect from God. Again, the music is freely composed but heavily based on the chorale. Only the third line of the text, which quotes the hymn directly, is given with the corresponding line of the chorale melody. The cantata closes with the final verse of the chorale, sung in beautiful harmony by the choir accompanied by the full orchestra of strings and oboes. Sing, pray, and go on God's way. Perform your part only faithfully, and trust in the rich blessings of heaven. Then he will be with you anew, for who places his confidence in God, he does not abandon. That Bach finishes the whole piece on a major chord, a chord progression known as a Picardy cadence, was a fairly standard device at the time, and is used, one might say overused, by church organists even today. Bach didn't use musical devices willy-nilly though, or just because they were there. So we do well to pay attention to this Picardy cadence. The cantata began with a call to trust in God's guidance in the midst of sorrows and under the cross, and so it was full of melancholy sighs. The work closes with the final faith-filled declaration, who places his confidence in God will not be abandoned by him, on a bright major chord. That's the Christian pilgrimage in a musical nutshell. We will now hear a complete performance of Johann Sebastian Bach's Wer nun den lieben Gott lässt walten, BWV 93, given by Bach Collegium Japan, directed by Masaki Suzuki, with soloists Yukari Nonoshita, soprano, Matthew White, countertenor, Makoto Sakurada, tenor, and Peter Koi, bass. The recording is taken from Volume 23 of Bach Collegium Japan's complete set of Bach cantatas, published by BIS, and made available to Lutheran Radio UK by eClassical.com.
das Herz mit zähnender Pein, mit tausend Angst und Schmerz. Was hilft uns unser Weh? Und ach, es bringt nur bitteres Ungemach. Was hilft es, dass wir alle morgen mit Seufzen von dem Schlaf aufstehen und mit betrenntem Angesicht des Nachts zu Bette gehen? Wir machen unser Kreuz und Leid durch bange Traurigkeit nur größer. Drum tut ein Christ viel besser, er trägt sein Kreuz mit christlicher Gelassenheit.
Gott, dir sich uns, mein Vater, Ganze Nacht mit leerer Arbeit zugebracht und nichts gefangen. Auf Jesu Wort kann er noch einen Zug erlangen. Drum traue nur in Armut, Kreuz und Bein auf deines Jesus Kind. Gibt der Sonnenschein und setzet jeglichem sein
Thank you.
That was cantata number 93, Wenn und den Lieben Gott lässt walten, by Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by Bach Collegium Japan and soloists Yukari Onoshita, Matthew White, Makoto Sakurada, and Peter Koi. Thank you for listening to Sunday Cantata. It is my prayer that you will find not only musical enjoyment, but also Christian comfort and encouragement from these timeless works. If you have enjoyed and benefited from listening to Sunday Cantata, I would love to hear from you. You can write to the program by sending an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Join me again next week. In the meantime, whether you have a good week or a hard one, may it be blessed by God's faithful guidance. My name is Tapani Simoyoki, and you are listening to Lutheran Radio UK.